Blog Talk Radio.
The proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ by members of the Churches of Christ with your host, Stevie R. Butler. You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
Stevie B's Media Production is a part of the Shellcaster Network.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves.
Thank you for tuning into the Gospel Light Radio Show. Your host this evening is Stevie R. Butler from the state of North Carolina. Tonight's show is a special edition with my co-host, Dr. Frank Washington from the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, we are grateful that you're tuning into our radio broadcast this evening. This radio show is brought to you by loving and faithful members of the Churches of Christ. We would ask you to take out your Bibles and study along with us. We have a very exciting show planned for your spiritual enlightenment and your edification. If you'd like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, just give me a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions or comments for any of my co-hosts, you can send your emails to my new email address, butlersteve1009@yahoo.com. Or you can give me a call, Stevie B's Media Production Studio at 910-491-6405. Now again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ, and if you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Now folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on the Gospel Light Radio Show. This is a special edition.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
Before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask you to bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast, and we are prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we pray that you'll be my co-host on the show this evening, Dr. Frank Washington, as he breaks unto us the bread of life. We pray that you will bless his family that supports his efforts, that he may continue to sow the seed of the kingdom. Father, we pray that you will bless our listeners this evening who are tuning in via Blog Talk Radio and also through social media. We pray that they may listen well, and that their hearts may be pricked as they consider their eternal stance before you and their soul salvation. And it will cause them to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you so much for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to die such a cruel death on Calvary's cross. For we recognize that without such a sacrifice, we would not have a hope of eternal life. Father, even now, we ask that you would forgive us for the sins we've committed in our minds and our bodies. We know our flesh is weak, and we often fall short of your will. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless us and keep us and love us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful unto death, Father, we pray that you would save us. For it's in Christ's name we do ask it all. Amen.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into the broadcast. Our speaker for this evening is Dr. Frank Washington. He serves with the West Broward Church of Christ there in Plantation, Florida. He'll be making his proclamation of the gospel of Christ And open up your Bibles now and open your minds and let's have a great show. This is a special edition. The next voice you hear be that of my co-host, Dr. Frank Washington. Enjoy the show.
Listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Give your attention to the proclamation of the Gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now, my co-host, Dr. Frank Washington, and his subject, what does the Bible say about sexual assault?
Good evening, friends, brothers and sisters, friends and visitors. Thank you, Brother Stevie B, for allowing me to come on your show and talk about my faith in Jesus Christ and the Word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. Tonight, I want to briefly have a fireside chat with you, great people tonight, about a topic that you may never hear from your preacher in the pulpit, or even from your Sunday school teacher. But before I give the title of my topic, since this is special edition, you might want to send the kids to watch The Cat in the Hat on PBS or Teen Titans Go, because tonight this may get a little heavy. I may not be long, but I will be strong. Amen. My special edition topic tonight deals with sexual assault or rape. If you are a victim of sexual assault or rape, go see a professional counselor and get professional counseling in order to get your mind right. Then go see your preacher, your pastor, your minister, to get your spirit right. Amen. Now, what does the Bible say about rape? or sexual assault. Just depends on the jurisdiction that you're in. But the issue of rape in the Bible is a difficult one to interpret because the laws given in the Old Testament existed within the context of that particular culture. Now, there are two cultural ethics in particular that must be understood before we move forward. The family was an important building block of the Israelite community. So it was important to maintain the highest sexual standards to maintain purity. And so the two cultural ethics included, one, it was extremely difficult for a non-virgin woman to find a husband. And two, the status of women was so low, their well-being required a male representative, particularly a son or a brother who walked with them in public outside of the house. This was not allowed back during that cultural period. Women who were not married could not walk outside by themselves. And in most Eastern countries, this is also a fact. But we need to also consider the prescriptive passages which reflect God's will versus the descriptive verses, which merely describe what people did. So how strong were those cultural ethics? So strong, they were so strong that when David's son Amnon raped his half-sister Tamar, she begged him to marry her in 2 Samuel chapter 13. The shame of being violated and remaining unmarried was too great for her to bear. When she tore her robe and covered her hair in ashes, it wasn't because of the rape. It was because he refused to marry her. So her reaction is descriptive. It is an account of a particular situation within the culture. It's not prescriptive because it does not reflect how God feels about rape. Now, I hope you guys are still on the line here. Track this with me. While listening to a public radio station one day, I found out that the Stanford rapist a few years back, only got a six-month sentence, and the judge made some very bad remarks about the incident, angry about what I heard and how this all played out. My heart broke not only for the survivor, but it also broke for every rape survivor watching the outcome and growing even more convinced they believe that speaking up would not make a difference. Listen, rape happens every day. And it happens to people in, and it happens to people out of the church. Listen to this. According to the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, 1 in 5 women and 1 in 71 men, yes, I did include that. The statistic includes that. 1 in 71 men will be raped in their lifetime. And if you've been raped or sexually assaulted, people may have lied to you and told you it was your fault or that you're damaged goods. You might be wondering, how could it happen to me? Well, you might even be angry with God. But listen, beloved, God is not angry with you. So the Bible is not silent about rape. And neither should our pulpits, our Sunday school classes. Amen. People are hurting in and out of the church. And it is the job of the people of God to speak up and speak out about what God thinks about some of the so-called unmentionable topics facing Christians and non-Christians today. The Bible is not silent about rape. The accounts of sexual assault against women in the Bible, they're heartbreaking and they are gruesome. And if you ever get the opportunity to read them, if you're sensitive about this, I mean, you may want to shed a tear and want to wonder how could this happen. But they're not brushed under a rug or hushed up. In fact, of the three accounts describing a woman who was sexually assaulted, each of them precipitated a civil war. When Jacob's daughter, Diana, was violated by the son of a neighboring ruler, Shechem, her brothers murdered him, his father, and all of the men of his city in revenge. That's found in Genesis chapter 34. The second incident, after the unnamed concubine was gang raped and left for dead by men in the tribe of Benjamin, the other tribes went to war against them upon hearing of her injustice, Judges chapter 19. And then the third one was after Tamar was raped by her half-brother, Amnon. Her brother Absalom killed him and incited a rebellion against his father, King David, 2 Samuel 13. So rape was neither covered up or ignored in the Bible. Instead, it was answered and avenged. It was such a cultural convulsion that it was answered with outrage and further violence. And the cases of rape in Scripture tells us something about the cases of rape we're hearing about today. I mean, these women must be heard. And they must be protected. Now, the Old Testament law gives us an even greater picture of just how much God takes up the cause of the victim and the vulnerable. There's one passage in particular, Deuteronomy 22. If you have your Bibles, go to Deuteronomy 22, and we'll do a quick, verse transfer in those cases. But in Deuteronomy 22, verse 23 through 29, these are verses that safeguarded women back then who had been violated. And like all of the legal codes, these laws reveal the heart and character of God. So if you look at Deuteronomy 22, 23, the Bible says, if there is a girl who is a virgin, engaged or betrothed to a man, and another man finds her in the city. If you got your Bible, underline that word city. Finds her in the city and lies with her. Then you shall bring them both out to the gate of that city, and you shall stone them to death. The girl, because she did not cry out in the city, and the man, because he has violated his neighbor's wife. Thus, you shall purge the evil from among you. Now, what does that mean? What is it saying? Compared to the other scenarios in the passage, these verses describe a consensual encounter. Now, this law does not use terms like seize or force, but simply finds. Keep find. If this the Bible says, and another man finds her. Well, the significant thing in this verse is the surroundings it defines. So, since it's been described as happening in a city, it implies that there were people nearby who could have helped her had she cried out. Since she didn't, the implication is that she did not resist, and therefore she is also responsible. And because she was betrothed to another man, she was already considered his wife. Making this equivalent to adultery, that's situation number one. Number two, Deuteronomy 22, verse 25. But if in the field the man finds the girl who is engaged, again, betrothed, and the man forces her and lies with her, then only the man who lies with her shall die. But you shall do nothing to the girl. There is no sin in the girl worthy of death. For just as a man rises against his neighbor and murders him, so is this case. When he found her in the field, the engaged girl cried out, but there was no one to save her. All right, Doc, what are you talking about here? Listen to me. When I first read this, I was kind of shocked because I didn't quite get it. But then, using my method of Bible study, not only did the rapist receive the death penalty, but the woman was protected from all other recourse. She was neither shamed nor shunned in the community. The word used for force in this verse is kind of specific, especially since it isn't used in either of the other two laws. It means to take or keep hold of, especially to seize with violence. In essence, the location is specific or significant here because, unlike in the first scenario in which the woman was within earshot of help in the city, this woman was caught in a secluded place, out in the field, alone and defenseless. So she cries out for help, but was overpowered. There was no one to save her because she was out in the field. She cries out for help, but was overpowered. But there was no one to save her. So God defends her innocence and ensures both her protection and her reputation. God shielded her from blame for the assault and shame after it had occurred. All right? Stay with me. Deuteronomy 22, verse 28. Third scenario. If a man finds a girl who is a virgin, who is not engaged, and seizes her, and lies with her, and they are discovered, then the man who lay with her shall give to the girl's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall become his wife because he has violated her, and he cannot divorce her all his days. Well, what does this one say? The implication of this law is a little bit more subtle, but equally significant. This verse does not use the word for force, which can also mean to lay hold or will. In other words, its other uses have the idea of capturing someone, overwhelming someone. But unlike the other two scenarios, this one concerns an unengaged virgin, while the other girls were engaged or betrothed. So this one concerns an unengaged virgin and does not specify where the violation took place. There is no location on this one. The first scenario, it was in the city. It was an earshot of help. And in the second scenario, it was in the field. She's out there all by herself. This one, there is no location specified. So there's and there's another detail in this law that's quite telling. The verse uses the phrase, "they were discovered," or "they are discovered." Now, the language here moves from an individual man to an individual woman to a they. Now, watch this. Hang in there with me now. Don't miss this. Coupled with the fact that this verse does not use the same verb for force, I believe this law describes something other than a violent rape. Was she overwhelmed? Absolutely. Did this dishonor her? Unequivocally. Is the man responsible for violating her? Absolutely. The Holy Spirit inspired a different word in verse 28 and 29, and the verb used in verse 25 and 27, and did it intentionally. Watch this. Track this with me. The detail that they are discovered together implies some level of mutual responsibility that's different from what we see in verses 25 and 27. The man is held accountable and must marry and must provide for the woman. The man is held accountable and he must marry and he must provide for the woman. Plus, on top of that, he can never divorce her for the rest of his life. Now, you want to know what God thought about this or thought about women? There you go. In Exodus 22:16, describes a similar situation or scenario. Now, where a young woman is seduced and adds that the father can refuse to give his consent to the marriage, but the man still had to pay the price of dowry, or it's called the bride price, means he was out the money set aside for a bride, and he still had no wife. Now, notice there is no punishment for the girl, for the young woman who was seduced. There is no indication that she was ostracized from her community or shunned by her family. Instead, she was vindicated and her honor was restored. So what does this mean? He couldn't use her and then lose her. A man couldn't take a woman as an object of pleasure and then bear no responsibility for it. And so God was protecting the woman in this situation from being left without protection and provision. So women are not to be used. The moral of this is women are not to be used and or discarded. Now, that's what God thinks about this issue or this situation of rape. But how strong are those cultural mores? Again, they are so strong that David's son, Amnon, who raped his half-sister Tamar, begged him to marry her. The brothers went to war after her. They went to war. But rape isn't mentioned in the New Testament. Rape isn't mentioned in the New Testament. Sexual purity was as applicable to men as to women. Matthew 5:27. Sex was reserved for married couples. Matthew 19:1. And men were to love their wives sacrificially. Ephesians 5:25. And in the time of the New Testament, it is possible that the Jews followed some of the Old Testament laws so well that they didn't need the reminder. But the Gentiles, on the other hand, were so sexually perverse that Paul kept to the basics with them. In essence, he kind of said, you know, men, you got to keep your pants on. You can't go out around doing, you know, those type of violations to women. So God, rape or sexual assault is a topic that can be discussed because it needs to be discussed. The laws against rape in the Old Testament aren't applicable to us as Christians today, but biblical standards are. In Romans 13 says, obey the local laws, many of which forbid rape and sexual assault. Jesus said, sex is only to be between a husband and a wife. And Paul told husbands to love their wives sacrificially. And when Jesus spoke of sexual purity, it was in the context of the heart, in the context of the mind. A woman who has been raped or sexually assaulted is described as violated, but never dirty, never unclean, or impure, or impure, or dishonored by another, but never honorless as a person. Rape was or has a great emotional toll on an individual, but the Bible never suggests it alters the nature of a person. Now, it should also be mentioned that rape is often more about violence and control than it is about sex. Certainly the Bible, in both Old and New Testament, speak against violent assaults. Jesus goes even further and speaks to the heart and mind conditions that lead to such violence, denouncing the progression from anger to insult to contempt in his Sermon on the Mount. God values people and imbues them with dignity and worth. And when someone rapes another person, they insult that person's dignity. It is one of the gravest affronts one person can give to another, but it takes nothing away from the victim's value. That while rape harms physically, emotionally, and mentally, no one can take away another person's worth, a child of God's worth. You cannot take that worth away from them. There's a couple of things I want to say to the women, our sisters out there. There's some things that Jesus wants you to know if you have been sexually assaulted or raped. There's some things that he wants you to know. And if you got a minute, I want to introduce you to what Jesus thinks about this. This is a topic that you can preach in church, by the way. But here's some things that Jesus would want you to know if you have been involved in a sexual assault or sexual battery. He says, number one, you're not abandoned. You are not abandoned. You are not alone. Jesus, the Lord said, the Bible says in Psalm 9, he said, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed and a stronghold in time of trouble. Your pain, your fear, your anger, your sadness, they're not too much for God. God loves you just as much today as he did when he created you. God sees you, pain, and he grieves with you, just like he does for all his children. But after being physically and emotionally abused, a woman named Hagar, you remember the story, a woman named Hagar finally decided she couldn't take anymore. So she runs away. But in Genesis 16, an angel of the Lord speaks or meets her along the road and tells her that her story isn't over. Don't give up. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. She said, you are the God who sees me. And then she says, I have now seen the one who sees me. God wants to comfort you. God wants to heal you. Even if you're angry right now at God, even if you're mad at God, tell him. God can take it. Pour out your emotions. Let it go. Don't hold anything back. God will meet you at your pain. Just like he promised in Psalm 147, the Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So you're not alone. Jesus will not abandon you because of an incident of sexual assault. You know, it's not your fault. Don't take the blame. You know, you can easily think, well, maybe I should have. Well, then this would not have happened. Well, it doesn't matter what you were wearing. It doesn't matter what you were doing. Rape and sexual assault are never your fault, number one. Even if your attacker says, you know, you made me do it, it's not your time. When God wrote the first rules for his people, women were considered man's property. You know, God's laws set Israel apart from its neighboring countries by elevating a woman's status and protecting her. But the punishment for rape was death for the rapist, and the punishment for adultery was death for both parties involved. But God makes a distinction for rape. He says, only the man who has done this shall die. Do nothing to the woman. She has committed no sin deserving death. God takes care of the woman. So, remember, number one, you're not abandoned. You're not alone. Number two, you shouldn't take the blame. Don't take the blame. It's your fault. And number three, you are valuable. Sisters, if you're listening, don't tune me out. You are valuable. Rape victim is not who you are. You are a son or you are a daughter of the Most High God. You are the daughter of the God who made the universe, and your values come from God. He created you, and he is the only one who can define you. You are not dirty. You are not used up. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by a loving God who loves you very much. God proved his love for you and your value to him by sending his son to earth to remove the sin gap between God and his people once and for all. You are valuable. You are valuable to God. I heard a message by Tony Evans. Tony Evans one day talked about the value of a woman. He took out a $100 bill, a nice, crisp $100 bill. And when he took the $100 bill out of his pocket, he crumbled that dollar bill up in his hand. He just, you know, crumbled it up just as crumbled as he could. But then he opened back that dollar bill and he said, the $100 bill still has value. And then he crumbled it up again. And then after he crumbled it some more, you know, he spit on it. He spit on that $100 bill. But then he opened that $100 bill back up and said, it still has value. And then not only did he crumble it up, not only did he spit on it, he threw it on the ground and stepped on it and marched on it. And then he picked it back up again and opened it up and said, it still has value. And then, you know, he did something I thought, you know, I said, you know, that's kind of crazy. But not only did he crumble it up, he crumbled the $100 bill. He spit on the $100 bill. And then he stepped on the $100 bill. And then, lo and behold, Tony Evans ripped the $100 bill. I said, oh, my God. But then this is what he said. He said, if you give me a little tape, I'll put that back together. And that $100 bill still is going to have value. So, women, don't worry if somebody crumbles you up. Don't get discouraged if somebody spits on you. Somebody, you know, calls you dirty. Somebody calls you used up. Somebody steps on you. Somebody tries to tear you apart. Don't worry about that because you still have value. Amen. Hallelujah. You still have value because you are a child of the Most High God. Amen. In the New Testament, we find that
to an aged man God spoke.
I don't know if I've been off the air or if I'm still on. Well, if I'm still on.
Go ahead, Frank.
Okay. All right. In this conclusion, victims who have been sexually assaulted or victims of rape can find hope and healing in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Amen. The road may be long and arduous, but he is faithful. No one is beyond the grace of God. And so perpetrators of rape can find hope and forgiveness in the person and work of Jesus Christ. In this life, we're going to suffer the consequences of sin committed against us and of our own sins. But Jesus has paid for every sin and offers forgiveness and healing. And one day all who put their trust in him will be whole in him again. This does not remove the punishment from laws according to the law, but it can offer hope and a new way of life. I hope this lesson has helped someone out there. I pray that if you have been a victim of sexual assault or sexual battery or rape, God still loves you and you are still valuable. And I know that when the time comes, everything is going to be all right. And this is my special edition, signing off, saying God loves you.
Man, God spoke words that sounded like a joke. Soon his wife would bear a child, a saying hard to reconcile. So we ask, can this thing be? Can a nation spring from me with a body grown so? In a word, this man was told.
my vision strange but true. Mighty things the Lord would do. He would breathe them back to life. His command caused them to rise. Like the nation he would raise to the glory of his praise. Your life begins with God, your love begins with God, your hopes and your dreams and your plans.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
Is your congregation in need of lending for a building or expansion project? As your partner and advocate, Diversified Financial Network will take the time to understand your unique situation and develop a financing solution that meets your specific needs. It's an exciting time for your congregation, and what you need is a company with expertise in church financing early in the process. Call us today at 1-866-513-6665 or visit us at www.diversifiedfinancegroup.com.
These are the announcements for the events and activities in the Churches of Christ. If you would like to have your events and activities announced on this radio program, please contact me at my business line at Stevie B's Media Production Studio at 910-491-6405. Or send your email to my new email address, steve1009@yahoo.com. Due to the coronavirus outbreak, this pandemic, I will not be making any public announcements until further notice regarding public meetings or assemblies. But I will be making announcements about the events and activities on social media. On Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, There'll be a nationwide gospel call that's sponsored by the Church of Christ in Highland Heights in Houston, Texas. And the telephone number to that call is 857-216-6700, and the access code is 328-497. This is a nationwide outreach to those who are not members of the Churches of Christ. The speakers will be presenting a basic salvation message for them to learn what they must do in order to be saved, and information regarding the Churches of Christ. In addition, it's intended to edify and strengthen the faith of those who are Christians. And beginning, what is beginning on Tuesday night, this began on April the 28th, it's been going on since April the 28th, the Delcrest Church of Christ in San Antonio, Texas, presents a women's virtual Bible study at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, and this virtual study will be held on Zoom. The class ID number is 821-3692-8262. On Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Church of Christ of Ministers presents Virtual Sermon Series 101, and the theme is Timeless Truths and Truthless Times. And this will be live on Facebook and on YouTube, the YouTube channel of Somebody Must Come Preaching. And for more information, contact ArlingtonRoadCLC.com or HilltopCLC.org. There'll be a daily prayer line at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time. The Ladies in Christ prayer line, hosted by the Church of Christ in Lafayette, Louisiana. And the telephone number to this prayer line is 605-472-5203. And that code is 514-859. On November the 9th and the 10th, 2020, there will be a live debate on YouTube, live on Faith Commit by Hearing, www.youtube.com/Faith Commit by Hearing. And the subject of this debate will be, is water baptism essential for salvation? And the affirmative will be Anthony Johnson from the Church of Christ in Berman, Georgia, versus Brandon Thomas from Christian Church in Belleville, Illinois. My co-host on the Gospel Light radio show, Steve Cordell, that airs on Thursday evening on Blog Talk Radio, has a new book entitled God, Grace, and You. And to order this new book, just go to the 21st Century Catalog. And just a program reminder, Stevie B's Media Production presents, we're airing live shows here on Blog Talk Radio. The telephone number to the live show is 713-955-0508. Or you can type in your search bar, www.blogtalkradio.com/Gospel Light Radio Show. The first Monday of the month, just like on tonight's show, we have a special edition. It's a live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show special edition. And this show will be used to deal with those hard topics that are not normally discussed in our congregations. And this show will air from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And one of my co-hosts will be on the air with me, giving a lesson from the Word of God. Also on Tuesday evening, each week from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, What a Word from the Lord radio show. Now, that show will not air on tomorrow night since we did a special edition on tonight. And each week we'll have a guest speaker from the Brotherhood of the Church of Christ who will be presenting lessons from the Word of God. And we also have a community corner at Segments Designed to just for small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services for our communities. And I have three co-hosts on that show. Lou Gilbert, he's the evangelist from the Overbrook Park Church of Christ there in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And Edward Bishop, he serves at Niagara Falls Church of Christ there in Niagara Falls, New York. And my newest co-host, Leshana Otis, she's the Mid-Tennessee Singles Hour Power segment. And she's with the Grayway Church of Christ there in Nashville, Tennessee. And also on Thursday evening, the Church of the Gospel Light Radio Show, I host the live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show, that airs from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. I have eight co-hosts on that show. That's right. Eight co-hosts will be presenting lessons from the Word of God. And each week, I have two of my co-hosts on the air with me. I'm also taking questions from my social media platform on Facebook called Shout It Out. I'll be posing to one of my co-hosts on that radio show. And then on Friday evening, we have a new time from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm hosting a live show, Stevie B's acapella gospel music blast radio show. On that show, I'm playing the world's greatest acapella gospel music artist, the Sweet Sounds of Boston. We also have every first Friday of the month, we do the Story Glory segment, where I'm actually interviewing the artist that I'm playing on that radio show. And on November the 6th, we have Shirley Anderson to be my special guest on the show. We'll be interviewing her on that show. And we also have a top 20 countdown show scheduled for the month of October. On October 16th, I'm counting down my top 20 acapella gospel songs for the month of October. And we also got a marathon show scheduled on the first of the year. We're featuring Ricky Lawler from Longview, Texas. And my on-demand episodes, if you can't catch any of these live shows, wherever you're getting your favorite podcast from, just type in your search bar, Stevie B's New Collection. And just to name a few of the musical platforms so you can receive all of these on-demand episodes that we're producing each week on the Stevie B's Media Production, you can go to Spotify, Apple iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, YouTube, just to name a few. And I'd like to give a shout-out to all of my sponsors who are sponsoring these radio shows. We appreciate all of our sponsors. Sharon Norwood, she goes to Chicago, Illinois. Her company is called Organo. Her slogan is a health product for healthier living. And my sponsor, Bethesda Memorial Frontier Director Crematory Services out of DeSoto, Texas. Certainly appreciate them. And my sponsor, Stanley Phillips. He's the owner of a Touch of Plastic Pearl out of Little Rock, Arkansas. And my sponsor, Cheryl Marat. She's from Charlotte, North Carolina. She's with the Compassionate Haiti Leader. She's been serving with Northern Haiti for 20-plus years. And they invite you to become a part of something greater than yourselves. Please visit and donate to Haiti at www.compassionatehaitileader.faith. And my sponsor, Yvonne Blazing Cracker Gooch from Nashville, Tennessee. Certainly appreciate her. I have three new sponsors, Melvin Jackson from High Point, North Carolina, and Marquise Holman from Charlotte, North Carolina. That company is called Unique Transportation Auto Car Hauling from Charlotte, North Carolina. And my sponsor, Stephanie Booker Wilson from Greensboro, North Carolina. Her company is called Stephanie Song Vocal Studios. And my sponsor, Diversified Financial Network, LLC, out of Dallas, Texas, known as Mark and Charlotte Curl. The three E's of Stevie B's Media Production, it is the objective of this broadcast. We want to educate, we want to edify, we want to encourage you in a study of God's Word. And that will conclude our program announcements. You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. This is a special edition.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
My day, I feel with happiness.
Way
that we should suffer constantly.
So take the time.
Give your life to Him, trust Him and obey Him.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning into our radio broadcast this evening. And we certainly appreciate those who've been following our radio show on Blog Talk Radio and also on social media. I want to thank my co-host, Dr. Frank Washington, for his subject. What does the Bible say about sexual assault? Fine job out there. Dear brother has done on this radio show. And ladies and gentlemen, we intend to use these special editions for those hard topics that you very rarely hear in your congregations or in your Bible study settings. And that's what we want to use these special editions for. We want to talk about these subjects, sexual assault, rape, racism, hypocrisy in the church, all of these hard topics that we are dealing with in the flesh. We need to hear what the Word of God has to say regarding these topics. So that's what the goal is for this radio show, is to deal with these hard topics on these special edition shows. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just thrilled to be able to bring you a weekly broadcast. It is our prayer that the lesson that was given on the show this evening have been beneficial to your spiritual lives and your relationship with the Lord has been strengthened, because you're not only tuning in this radio show, but you've given yourself over to a study of God's Word. I'm your host, Steve R. Butler, and I want to say on behalf of all of my co-hosts on the Gospel Light Radio Show, we really do appreciate your love and support for these radio programs. God bless you, and good night, everybody.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
This time. For certain, it sure as you're born.
that make you call on the Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
And
yes.
When you call him, just remember what Jesus said. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
And don't pray for tomorrow, 'cause it never comes. Don't worry about your next day, 'cause all you get is this one. So when you call him, just ask him for your daily bread. And when you ask of him, he'll give you
daily bread.
Love, just enough to make it through the day. He'll give you strength enough to get through.
Light Radio Show. This has been a special edition. I know.
goodness of my Savior is everywhere to me. Even the children playing in the street, saying a friendly hello to everyone they meet. Even the leaves growing out on a tree. That's heaven to me. That's heaven to me. That's heaven. That's heaven to me. That's heaven. Just a little thing. That's heaven to me. That's heaven to me. That's heaven. What?